بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to the College Muslim. My name is Talha Rafiq and along with my close friend and co-host Badr al-Din Muhammad, we host this podcast, The College Muslim. Our goal is to highlight and show the experience high school and college students go through while growing up Muslim in a primarily non-Muslim society. Both Badr al-Din and I are currently students at USC studying quantitative biology, and between the both of us, we have attended both private and public schools, giving us a wide range of experiences. We also hope to showcase many other experiences by bringing on guests on various episodes.
Lastly, we are not sheikhs, muftis, or scholars, and while we do have a rudimentary Islamic education and are continuously learning about Islam, everything we say here is purely from our experiences and should not be listened to with the pretense that we are Islamic scholars. However, with that said, we do take responsibility for what we say. And if any of y'all have any questions, you can always feel free to reach out to us at any of our social media platforms. So with that said, let's begin today's episode. And inshallah, God willing, we, along with you, will continue to grow as Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to The College Muslim. Today's topic is
all about being more proactive in your life.
Very interesting.
I want to elaborate on that a little bit more.
Please do.
It's a lot of people take a backseat in their own life. And I know that's kind of like weird to like say and kind of comprehend is like, oh, how do you take a backseat in your own life? Like every day you wake up, you know, you go through your life. Mm-hmm. Aren't you actively doing things? And while your body might be doing things, I think sometimes having that connection root down from your mind to your actions to your intentions, not everything will always, you know, coincide with each other, and not everything is always like reflective of each other. And what can happen, for example, one thing that could happen is you kind of get into like the motions, is what people like say, like
when
autopilot,
people, yeah.
On autopilot, right?
This isn't a Islamic concept, it's a very secular concept that like literally every single productivity coach, self-help coach talks about too.
The important key with Islam that you tie into it is that as Muslims, we're not supposed to be lazy. Like, we're not supposed to, like... Laziness is a big general term, by the way, but...
It's laziness, but it's also... Intentionality is a big part of Islam as well. Like, we shouldn't just be doing things with no purpose or no intention just for the sake of doing it, because that... I mean, the whole reason we're on Earth is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, that includes ibadah, like salah and things like that. But even in our everyday lives, whatever we're doing, there should be some sort of purpose, some sort of intention to it. And yes, with the way the world is today, it's very fast-paced. There's a lot of sensory overload is a word that gets thrown around a lot just because we use... I think it was one of my lectures the other day. We were talking about how, especially in this day and age, because it's the time, the rate at which things move. Human beings move at a certain rate. It was a coffee with a professor. It was one of these events that we have at USC. That's really cool. So I was talking with this professor, and he was talking about how the rate at which people moved back in the day, like even like 50 years ago, like when this professor was doing his PhD, saying how like they were like, right, not even PhD, when he was a professor here a couple of years ago, not like 10, 20 years ago maybe. But anyway, they would like write things down, and there would be an internal memo system within USC. So when they email each other, they would text each other. What they would do is they would write stuff down, and then it would take a day for the memo system to like get to the other professor. And then people just address things at a much slower pace. Versus today, we require humans to move at the pace of technology. Mm. And technology moves instantaneously. Mm-hmm. Technology has no delay and has no lag unless your internet really is bad. But for the most part, things move really fast. And when we are required to move as fast, a lot of times the intention of why we're moving in a certain direction or the reasoning or the purpose behind certain directions can get lost because we start delegate that responsibility to technology, or we delegate that responsibility to another entity other than ourselves. And that can be a way for us that sometimes even myself, I get sort of away from the awareness of God because I just think, oh, I'm just doing something because I have to do it. I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't know what the purpose of it, the reason why I'm doing it. Mm. There's no intention behind my actions.
And that's where you stick into like the autopilot mode where you're just like not really aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're knocking out things, but you're not really quite sure what you're knocking out. Yeah. So that's
productivity without intentionality.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what kind of we're going to touch on today, as well as I guess like personally in my life, also like specifically talking about like being a bit more like proactive about like my choices is not just being proactive once I'm doing it, like be intentional, like you're saying, mm-hmm. but also like in the first place, like getting up off the couch, getting out of the bed and being a little bit more like an active decision-making processes of like, this is something I want to do. This is something I get to do. This is something like I'm here to actively choose to do, rather than, you know, having to do it because of the conditions that have been set upon me. So for example, like students will have to go to lecture, or they have to go somewhere, have to do this assignment because it's due on a certain day. And how I'm crafting that into the identity of like, not identity per se, but more like how I'm crafting that into like an aspect of choice. Like I need to do this assignment, but I also want to do this assignment, and I'm going to be proactive about finishing this assignment and getting it done with and submitting it, rather than
on your own accord.
On my own accord. Instead of letting that deadline come closer and closer and closer, which can lead to stuff like procrastination, et cetera, et cetera.
Newton's first law applies to objects, but maybe let's not let it apply to us as human beings.
Oh, that's crazy. Mind blown.
An object in motion stays in motion unless acted on by an outside force, but we are not objects. We are people.
We are the outside force.
The force is within us.
The force is within
us. The force is with you.
That is what is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yeah, okay, let's start there, because I think the intentionality stuff can come, like, for example, the autopilot comes kind of after you're already doing it, mm-hmm. or like, it's where you're like not attentive of what's going on, but like, how do we start off things the right way so that we might not even get to that position? And if we are in that position, how do we, you know, kind of reframe things mm-hmm. so we can get out of that position,
yeah.
right? And regain that control. So first, yeah. starting off.
The first thing I think is a big ask of any human being in this day and age.
Get up, move intentionally? Is that what do you mean by first thing? Sorry,
let's rephrase. The first thing, what you just mentioned, but like autopilot. But actually, let's start there. Let's start with the getting up out of bed, out of whatever rut that you're in, and being the internal force for yourself to move, start moving.
Yeah.
Instead of an external force.
Yeah. And it's like a broad concept, so I'm going to try like simplifying it down to like two examples that we can kind of like dive into.
Yeah.
The first example is something that all Muslims can really relate to. Is like getting out of bed and waking up for Fajr. Mm. That's like the big one. And second example I'll use is like more like college oriented, which is more like, you know, studying for an exam, say for example, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, my goal is like essentially like tie in like, how do these two things actually hold so many similarities together, yeah. and why Islam is such a good, like, you know, amazing thing, a tool for us essentially to like improve our quality of life in both, you know, from the Fajr aspect and from the, you know, the exam preparation aspect. Yeah. So first things first, waking up for Fajr is hard. You get it, especially in college.
It's cold.
It's cold. It's like your bed's cozy. It's really early in the morning.
Is cold too.
The water is really cold. You got to make wudu. And, you know, you might have been up late studying or something, right? Especially as a college student. And it doesn't help that our social lives nowadays kind of gravitate to like
late nights.
Yeah. That's with the advent of like lights, for example, right? We now have the ability to stay up very, very, very late. It's never truly night if you think about it.
The city never sleeps.
So you set an alarm.
Yeah.
You're going to wake up for Fajr. So this is after you've made the intention to actually wake up. So this is for you guys who are like, oh, I want to wake up, but something's not happening in the morning. Like, yeah. I'm like.
Or you're like half wake up. I this happened to me. Like, I'll wake up and then I'll be like, okay, 10 more minutes. And then 10 more minutes go back. And then I wake up again, but I'm not fully awake. Like, it's like eyelids are half closed. I'm like in this weird like flux state of like awareness. No,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. But that's why this example is so important, because if you can get over that, this is the best way, in my opinion, to start your day, as well as like learn this like discipline of like waking up and getting and moving to actually move.
There's no external force for Fajr.
Exactly. The only thing stopping you from this is this laziness that is instilled by Shaitan, and that is like maybe instilled by habit too. Like, obviously, I don't know like the methods by which Shaitan works, but secularly thinking, it's like the habits you set.
Also, the thing is like, yes, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like has made like salah required upon us, and that, I mean, inshallah, we all want to get to a place where like that is enough of an external force for us. The losing of the rewards, the gaining of the bad deeds should be an external force. But I think it's also a rahmah of Allah in the sense that like Allah's not there literally, because if he wanted to, he could literally lift you up out of bed and put you on the prayer mat and make you go do and all that kind of stuff. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that free will.
Yeah, exactly.
Which also means that we, in turn, for that gift of free will that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we need to reciprocate that with a internal force and an internal conviction and intention to get up out of bed. Yeah. And if we can do that, then like your assignment's going to be so much easier.
And that's where it comes from, is that when you put in that, you get something back.
Yeah.
Right? So like prayer and all these things that we're like obligated to do, isn't just meant to like help us in the akhirah, like the afterlife, yeah. right? It's supposed to make our life on this earth better. Yeah. So don't you think that if you were to wake up for Fajr, it would make things better? And this is where I'm getting to. Mm. Being a proactive player, like for me, this is like what changed for me when I started waking up for Fajr like consistently. Mm-hmm. And what it kind of was like throughout my entire day, I would be faced with many, 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 many choices. Okay. And I don't know what that first choice of the day will be, when it will be. It might be after breakfast. It might be after this. It might be after lunch. It might be like whatever it may be. I didn't know when that choice was going to come into my life on that day. And what I perceived Fajr as is to be as proactive in my life. What I like saw Fajr as was this tool as like the very first thing of my day. Every single time is this choice of getting out of bed and doing this obligated action that I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like all the stuff that comes with it, from like the actions to like dhikr and all that stuff. No, I'm just talking about straight up. My eyes managed to wake up to the alarm. And now in my mind, like my neurons are firing and they're telling me, you have a choice.
Yeah.
You can get out of bed right now. You can be uncozy. You can like go and make wudu, or you can go back to sleep. Like you can put your head down and you can crash. You now literally have only two choices. Like it's yes, get out of bed and pray, or it's no, go back to bed. Fall asleep, whatever, yeah. right? But if I can consistently make this choice every single day in the morning to start off my day that way, right? Not even worrying about like what the actual actions are, like whether it's praying or if you're making extra dhikr or anything else, right? Just a matter of like you standing out of bed, okay? Mm-hmm. If I can make that choice, if I can make the decision, I have proactively made a conscious, God-conscious also decision
yeah.
of like doing something, and it's the very beginning of my day. It's like the perfect way to start off your day. So yeah. it's like, now the rest of your day, when you're going through like your choices, et cetera, it's kind of like you're predisposed almost. And this is something that like, if you guys know Andrew Huberman's podcast, he's a neuroscientist out of Stanford.
Also, I think everyone knows about yeah, this point.
Andrew Huberman, great guy. Like his research is interesting. Okay. But, he harps on this too, is like, if in the morning you make this choice to go like wake up, go on your immediate run, cold shower, right? All these like are the main emphasis he has behind them is you're making this choice to like optimize your body, optimize yourself. So now looking at it from a religious perspective, do you think like beneficial for you to optimize your choice for this specific thing, which is an Islamic choice, which is the first thing you knock out in your day? Mm-hmm. It's going to optimize the rest of your day as well.
Yeah.
And that's how it kind of like, I was able to formulate like, let me make a proactive choice here, and it's going to automatically trickle down into the rest of the things.
Afterwards. I love how secular psychology and neuroscience is talking about this now. And while you're talking about that, I actually reminded me of a hadith. My mom always tells me when she's trying to wake me up for Fajr. But and like the fact that like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, something along these lines about making choices and having productivity early in the day, in the sense that like you're knocking out tasks already. So this is from Sahih Bukhari 1142. And so when you go to sleep, shaitan puts three knots in the back of your head. I'm paraphrasing. This isn't exactly the hadith, but like not word for word. But so when you go to sleep, shaitan puts three knots in the back of your head. And then these three knots are undone during Fajr time. So the first knot is undone when you wake up, like literally wake up, get out of bed.
So that's a choice of you getting out of bed.
Choice number one, knot number one, task number one, productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Check mark, the first thing of the day is done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second knot is undone when you make wudu. And the third knot is undone when you say Allahu Akbar and you start praying. So honestly, if you think about it, and this is one way for me to contextualize my day as well, because I'm a very lazy person. Somewhat. I'm lazy in the sense that like I think Newton's first law does apply to me somewhat, unfortunately. Working on it, inshallah. But that Newton's first law, the one way I sort of have tried to overcome that in the sense that to get out of bed without needing an external force and making that internal force myself is through this hadith. When I think about the fact that when I wake up for Fajr, sometimes I think, okay, like when you wake up in the day as a student, you think, oh my God, I have so much work to do. I have to wake up. And then you just think about this mountain of work that you have to do. And it feels like you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
You wake up and you feel like you are sort of useless. And at least for me, I feel like, I wake up, I haven't gotten anything done yet. I have so much left to do. I have a certain number of hours left, especially if it's a weekend and you slept in. Like that's even worse.
Yeah.
So when it's a weekend and I wake up, I feel like I have nothing left to do. But if I wake up for Fajr, I can recontextualize that experience. I can recontextualize that experience as, first of all, I woke up, one task done. I've done one thing today already. Next, I make wudu. I've done another thing. Next, I've said Allahu Akbar and I've started my salah. That's the third thing. I've done three things already. The mountain of work that I have left, sure, there is a big mountain of work left. I've already gotten three things off my checklist done already today.
Yeah.
Just by waking up.
And it feels like you have more time too.
Exactly.
Because like you're starting your day earlier and you're just like,
yeah. When you're just wake more up at, energized too.
Yeah. And when you wake up at like 11 a.m. or like 12, right? Like it happens. Thank you for that. Right? Sorry. I didn't mean you. I meant like
I mean,
when,
I do.
Okay, when someone sometimes. When someone wakes up at 11 a.m., it's like half the like the day. By day, I mean the morning, the sun, right? Like the sun's like almost overhead.
Yeah.
Like it's like half your day is gone. Almost, yeah, and you're like then like even I woke up late today, right?
Yeah.
I slept in. And I slept in because it's a weekend. And it's like, yes, you know, yes. Long weekend.
No, you're good.
And I'm like,
this is President's Day weekend, by the way.
It's President's Day weekend. Yeah, yeah. So day off. And I slept in and I woke up and I'm just like, I couldn't decide. Should I shower first? Should I eat first? Or should I just get some work done first? Like, I was like, what should I do first?
Dude, same. That's literally the exact same thing that happens when I wake up too. Because I have like, I think of all the things I could get done right now. But then the work is just so huge.
Huge to you. But the thing is like, every time I wake up for Fajr, like consistently, and most of the weeks, like during most of the week, I wake up at Fajr.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. Even if I have so much work, I'm like, I have the rest of the day to do my work. Like, I will get to you in a second.
You feel productive because you feel like, oh, I've woken up so early. I've woken up. First of all, you've woken up earlier than the majority of the people out there already.
100%. So, yeah. And like, you're like, okay, I have the rest of the day of my work. Let me first handle my salah.
Yeah.
Maybe at this point, like, I'll sit down and recite Quran for a bit. I feel like I have so much time.
Yeah.
And I do have time. And then you sit down after that and it seems like you got a good start to your day and the rest of the day follows and that's how it goes.
It's also full circle. Like when the day ends too, if you've woken up for Fajr and you pray all your salah throughout the day and then you pray Isha and then you just think, wow, I've hit all 5 prayers today.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't gone, like even if you haven't done the whole mountain of work that you think you do, you still feel like more accomplished. At least for me personally, I feel so much more accomplished on the days that I wake up for Fajr and I get all my work and I get as much work done as I could by the end of the day. Even if I have, even on the days where I might have been super productive, I didn't wake up Fajr, or I maybe did Khaza, like I made up Fajr. Those days, at the end of the day, I don't feel as accomplished as the days when I do less work, but I wake up Fajr.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and like I don't want to dive, like talk about it forever because it's honestly fun to talk about. Like when
it
you,
is.
No, Fajr is like, the, like one of the it's best things like that we've been given as human beings. But like what I'm trying to get to, like the conclusion of it is when you can be proactive about these like decisions that are Islamically related, it kind of bleeds into the rest of your day. And this is where the second example comes into play of like the exam. Okay. So if, for example, I was proactive about my salah and prayed Fajr and I'm like, my day started okay. Okay. How do I blend that God conscious decision of like waking up at Fajr into a God conscious decision or a non-laziness decision for my exam that's in a week or 2 weeks? Okay. I'm not talking about like the stressed out like last day studying. I'm talking about like, you know, you have an exam coming in a week.
Yeah.
For people in the workforce, you know, you have a project due. I'm not gonna talk for anyone in the workforce because I'm not not like at that level yet.
Yeah.
But like for students, like you got an exam in a week, right? How do you like becoming more proactive player through that? And so first of all, like obviously you can correlate the Fajr experience of like trickling down and being like, okay, now you can tackle one task at a time, another task at a task. But when you're able to get past that point, right, that's where I think everyone should start. And now you have a big task ahead of you. I have an exam. I really need to study for it. I'm not fully prepared for it. The best thing, like, that I think that people can do to, like what I did, especially, to be, like, more active about it, is I started viewing that exam as kind of, like kind of like salah. Like there's five small compartments throughout the day, little by little, that append to each other. And over the course of a week, I've done 25 salahs, or I've done, I don't know, what, 7 days out of a week, 35. Mm-hmm. 35 times I've prayed consistently on time, and they hit each its mark, and each has its own rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So shouldn't an exam be like that? If you start a week early, you start, remember, you have 10 chapters in your exam, do one chapter a day, break that one chapter into 5 sections for the day, or 3 sections, or 2 sections, or whatever. Sit down for an hour and knock that hour out, and then start appending them. And over time, you'll realize, oh, I've already studied for the entire exam. It's been a week, and I'm still totally prepared 100%. And the reason that ties back into like being an active player within Islam is because Islam is all about balance. Like it's not like, it's not just about the success of what you're about to do, right?
Yeah.
It's like you take these small steps to like accumulate this overall success that will result because of the work you put in, right? And that's what Allah SWT gives us a chance to do as well. It's not like he's like, make dua, pray, and you'll magically give him what you want.
Yeah.
For example, like you want to quit smoking, you want to quit drinking. You're not going to just say like, oh, Allah, like it's not going to come solely from that. You have to do that, and then you have to get up and put in the effort.
Gotta tie the camel.
You got to tie the camel. Yeah, exactly. And you have to like actually put in the effort after that. Go to like, you know, if you're like, for example, stuck with drinking or something, go to like the options you have, like talk to a therapist, talk to your parents, like actively make choices. you know, alternate one day with it, one day without it, and over time that becomes 2-3 days. But constantly make dua and supplication. Just don't leave it to the dua and supplication.
Yeah.
So same with the exam. Actively make these small decisions to compound overall, and that'll lead to your exam. But that really, really, really ties in well with, like, for example, with the Fajr thing, because it is this small one act of decision of being proactive about something. But you cannot be proactive about something if you just leave it off. That's the issue. That's where students, I think, can not understand how Islam ties into school. Like, you can't just be non-proactive about school. You can't just sit back and, like, nothing is going to happen. Eventually, the deadlines will force your hand, but you won't feel like you're being active. You'll still feel like you're being lazy.
Yeah. Another sort of, on that exam note, the way you contextualize is great. Another, as a student who has done a lot of procrastinating in my life.
It happens, yeah.
I mean, you know me. Like,
yeah, I did it too. Yeah, I still do it now and then. Yeah, it's not like, no one's like going to be perfect on that.
Especially like
right?
the whole 11:59 deadline. But the thing that taught me the most, especially my freshman year, I wasn't using my time to the best of my ability. And the exams and the deadlines would creep up. And then that night I'd be like, oh man, Allah, please help me out here. Like, I gotta do this. I mean, sure, I had all this time, but like, I really need this. And I would like make the island. I'd be so stressed out and trying to hit that 11:59 deadline or that, get ready for that exam tomorrow. But one thing I started doing last semester and this semester to sort of, because usually I do have time. Like, there is usually that 2 or 3 weeks before the exam where you're able to, like you said, break down the information into chunks.
Right.
And that time feels like it's so infinite. It feels like there's so much, like it's never going to go away. So you're just like, I'll do it tomorrow. And one thing I started telling myself to help me get to that deadline without having to like stay up all night and like really cram the whole thing all at once is realize that time is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how I started to bring Islam into my academics, in the sense that every night the assignment is due, I would be on the prayer mat. I'd be making dua to Allah. I'd be raising my hands and be like, Allah, please help me out here. Like, I really got to get this. I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me a miracle on that day, to cram all that stuff into it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the gift of these 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 1 month, however long Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me, what did I do with that time that I feel so justified to myself right now that I can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me a miracle to cram this whole thing in and get that 100% on this exam, on that assignment? And that's how, like, honestly, once that harrowing thought sort of hit my mind, you see my work ethic. It's been a big change in how I've sort of approached school. I don't approach school in the same way, in the sense that, like, oh, I have so much time. Like, this time is just free. Like, sure, the professor gave it to me. Like, now I can do extracurriculars a couple of days here. I can study a little bit there, and then I'll end up with enough time. No, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this time. My professor didn't give me this time. Sure, the professor may have made the schedule or whatever, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into the professor's head to make the schedule this way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me this time to study, and it's giving me ample time to get everything done. And I am wasting this time, wasting this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. And on the last day before the exam, I'm always like, come on, help me out here.
So yeah.
That's one way I contextualize that. And the second thing I want to talk about is, you talked about, like, you started talking about taking incremental steps.
Yeah.
I think one thing we often, like, just as a society, in a Western society, often don't celebrate enough is that going away from a bad thing is also a good thing. Stopping a bad thing, stopping to do a bad thing to yourself is a good thing in and of itself. Yes, obviously, like, if you stop smoking, if you stop drinking, if you stop partying, if you stop any bad habit that you feel that you want to stop, that 100% that's a great thing to do, and that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. But also going away from that thing, from the environment that you're in, from maybe you're a social smoker, so you're smoking with other people. So even if you are smoking here and then by yourself, going away from the people that are smoking, going away from haram, is also a good deed. It's also a good thing. And I don't think that's celebrated enough.
Yeah. The best example of that I have seen, like, in the modern day, especially among teenagers, even more than, like, things like smoking and vaping, is, like the concert scene. Like I've seen plenty of, like friends of mine who are Muslim who still kind of listen to music, and they do listen to music, but they don't go to any more concerts. Like, the first step was, like, to avoid this zone where this thing happens.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, no one really, like, encourage them, or like, it was like not encouraged, but no one was really happy for them.
Yeah.
Like it was like, yeah, like they still view it as the same exact thing. Like you,
music
you,
is music.
Music is music.
But that is a change. That's a big, that's a commendable change.
Yeah.
To the fact, first of all, you stop spending money on music.
Okay.
To a certain extent, a huge amount of money. Mm-hmm. Dude, some of these concerts, dude, I didn't know how expensive concert tickets were.
How someone is going to pay like $200 to watch someone perform on a stage?
Where like
I will never understand.
People have told me that like you can barely hear the music, the vocals, yeah, the whatever.
Yeah, even in high school, like
I heard it's a terrible experience.
Yeah, even in high school, like at a time when like religion was a really difficult thing for me.
Yeah,
like I still never understood the concept of a concert. I was like I just couldn't grasp it. And even like okay, this is I guess my personal thing more so, yeah. But like even sports events, I was like, why would I go pay like, you know,
unless you play the sport. I think in that case, it's kind of like analyzing.
Yeah, and just like, but even then, I was never a big fan of like. I to me it okay, this is just me personally. I'm not trying to speak.
Obviously
for
sporting
else.
Events are not, we're not saying that sporting events are haram.
Yeah. We're not saying that.
Consult like, your local sheikh for
always consult your local sheikh.
For anything you hear on this anything, podcast.
Like honestly, if you're gonna make a decision and you're conflicted, don't ask your parents, ask your sheikh.
And don't listen to this podcast as your primary source of information for
and
that.
Do not listen to this podcast as your primary source of information. But yeah, so
like a drug ad.
This is a drug ad?
No, like, it's called direct-to-consumer marketing for
drugs. Yeah, when they're like,
it's only allowed in America and New Zealand, but like, where they're like, please consult your primary care physician before undertaking any new medication.
Right, side all that stuff. Yeah, I've seen those ads. But yeah, anyways, so I've never understood the concept of like doing that. But anyways, these friends, they left it. They stopped going to concerts. That was their first choice. That was their first decision. And a couple of them eventually stopped listening to music, but some of them still do. But it's like, that was a step in the right direction. Yeah. And
that is a good thing.
And that is an active choice. Yeah. Like you look at the ticket and you're like, you know, and you look at your friends who go. And
especially
you're like,
well, one thing I realized, especially with concerts, is that often sometimes even if a person doesn't want to go, they'll go. Honestly, 90% of the time people don't go for the artist. They go for their friends.
Yeah.
Everyone's going together at
that
same time.
It's like a community thing. Yeah. Like it's a fun thing. And it's just like, if you're able to stop that, like that is a proactive choice. Like make those small choices because it compounds pretty fast.
Yeah.
And the thing is, once it starts rolling, right, it gets faster and faster and faster and faster.
And even if it doesn't compound immediately or as fast as you think it's going to be,
yeah,
still appreciate that change that you made in your life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rewards for that change.
Yeah.
And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the support to continue on that route, on that route of change. 100%. Whatever pace that may be for yourself.
100%. And I guess that kind of also liaisons into this the other topic we were going to touch on, which was when you're in autopilot and you start making these changes.
Yeah.
And it goes really well with this, like how do you get to these incremental changes? How do you make these proactive choices of like small steps, yeah, right? Because that's the only way someone in autopilot can get out of autopilot. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen by like immediately changing one direct thing. Like, let's say you're the guy.
Push that manual control button.
Exactly. Like even if you're the guy who is like waking up for Fajr every single morning, you might also be on autopilot. I'm not saying it's not like, you know, universal that every person who wakes up for Fajr is going to start their day off the perfect way and the rest of their day looks fine. You might hit into an autopilot zone at some point. Yeah. So if you are in this, you know, mentality where you're just cruising through the day, knocking out the things that have been knocked out without intentionality, without like having your mind and your body aligned with, you know, what your intentions are, et cetera. I truly believe like this is the first step towards that is, first of all, being reflective on what are the things that I can like kind of address from my choice point of view for a student. That could be whether he wants to study, whether he wants to go to a concert, he or she. Mm-hmm. Whether he or she also, what time they're praying salah, because there's a range. But if you prioritize your salah and you pray as soon as...
there's also more rewards when you pay at the top.
Yeah, at the start of the time that you're allowed to pray.
Yeah.
Like these are the small things that if you're reflective on, you'll notice, and this is the most important thing, is that reflection is you'll notice the places where you can, you know, be a bit more proactive about what choices you're making. And that's the first step, is first realizing where can I even be more proactive. Mm-hmm. Some people will look at their schedule and be like, yeah, this looks good, like it looks fine. And that's where we get stuck into autopilot, is when we're like, this is good enough. Like this is, I'm doing the right thing already. But no, did you know that by praying earlier, you get more good deeds? Did you know by praying in congregation, you get more deeds, right? How do you optimize for that? Did you know that when you study with a partner with active recall that you're able to memorize more, you're able to memorize faster, right? Did you know that?
Here comes learning talha.
Learning. My point is,
yes,
reflect, look at what's out there. And by out there, I mean like what Islam has taught us and maybe in school, like what studies have taught us, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to like know. And then, you know, make those small changes based on what your reflections decipher, but constantly be reflecting, because that's the only way you're going to be able to tell, like, oh, this is where I could be more proactive. It's less about like how to change and how to like start doing those things, and more about realizing like, what can I physically and mentally do, and where can I do it in my life? Because surprisingly, the how to change part is like, it's very, very personalized. Like, no one's going to be like, this is how you magically wake up for Fudger. We can tell you that what you should do is wake up for Fudger, and we can tell you when you should be doing it, like the morning, at, like at the opening of it. But, you know, as far as like how you're going to do that is going to be a personal thing, but only if you can reflect on what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And this isn't an Islamic concept either. Like, you see so many therapists and psychiatrists and just the mental health culture today, which is important and is highlighting the fact of being intentional with your actions, setting intentions, renewing intentions, journaling, bullet journaling. All these things are obviously great strategies, but Islam thousands of years ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, has already shown us that intention is important for any action that we do. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to come back to the sake of Allah at some point.
Yeah.
So reflecting, like you said, on every single action that we do, even if it's a very monotonous task, like, I don't know, take data entry, for example. Yeah. Pre-med
here, plugging so, in numbers into a spreadsheet. Yeah.
So like when you're doing data entry for research, like obviously, yes, it's a very boring thing. It's very easy to get into autopilot. But even maybe not during the task, but during the task would be nice. But even after the task, for a couple hours after, maybe you're doing salah, after salah, you sit down for a little bit. You just think about your day. You think about what you did today. Why did you do that thing today?
Mm.
How is that leading you to, obviously, maybe it's for your secular goal in life to like get into some kind of school or to get into some kind of thing. Why do you want to get into med school? Why do you want to get into a job? Why do you want to get into the next phase of your life? It's to make money. Why is that money for? Like, at some point, like, if you keep thinking down the line, inshallah, at some point, it'll come back for the fact that you are doing it for the sake of Allah. And that's, and I think that, for me, like, I try to do this at least once a week if I can. But, like, obviously, being pre-med means you're in this sort of rat race of being pre-med in the sense that you're doing so many things, so many extracurriculars and class and all these things to get into med school, to make money, to get into residency, to blah, 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 blah. And but then at the eventual goal at the end of the day, at least for me, is to make money so I can have financial freedom, so I can put my time towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make sure, like, as a doctor, that the patients I'm treating are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to heal others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to help be sort of like a, I don't want to say a conduit, but just like, but just you've
been placed here.
Do the work with the intention of letting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help others heal.
Yeah.
So all these things, like, sure, they might be idealized or they might be just a lot easier to say than do, but realizing, just taking that little bit of time to attribute some kind of purpose with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to every single action that you do throughout the day is going to add so much more barakah and so much more purpose and so much more intention into everything that you're doing, in my opinion.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And it's kind of like the interesting, like the way you phrased it kind of made me realize, like, intention is what you set out to do, right? Is like how you like decide that I'm going to like choose to do this, etc. And then the reflection is more about you essentially reflecting on your, like, was my intention straight through what I just did, right? Like, it's a reflection not only of the action you were doing, but was my intention there when I was doing the action?
Yeah.
So specifically with also like data entry, for example, you kind of like you said, your long-term goals, you make sure that your intentions are in line with that, but then you make sure your short-term goals reflect those intentions that were set for your long-term goals within your short-term goals, such as the data entry.
Especially even if it's something that's data entry, like obviously you might be doing it with a pure intention in the sense that you want to make sure all the data entry is correct so that you do well in your research or blah, 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 the whole chain reaction. But the nafs is always there. You could be like, I'm just in so much autopilot right now. I'm so tired. Might as well just like enter in a couple of false values and just get out.
Your laziness.
Laziness, exactly. And that is a part of the nafs.
Yeah.
And in that sense, it's realizing that there needs to be a pure intention for everything. But the reason why, especially in this day and age, when 99% of the stuff that we do doesn't have an immediate, at least I'm just speaking as a pre-medical student, 99% of the things that pre-medical students do don't have an instant reward. There's a lot of delayed gratification along this path. And that's the case for many college degrees, many college programs, is that there's a lot of delayed gratification. You need to have the patience and the sabr, which is an inherent purpose in and of itself, in the sense that, like, it builds your sabr, it builds your patience, it builds your tolerance to getting frustrated, things like that. But at the same time, to build that tolerance, sometimes what happens is that we put ourselves in autopilot and I sort of numb myself to the stuff that I'm doing. And I don't think about why I was doing it until much, much later on. But thinking about that later on helps you the next time you have to do a similar task, that you're not cutting corners, that you're not doing something, that you're not shortchanging whatever task that you're doing. Because that's a sin as well. If you do something wrong purposefully in your research because you weren't intentional with what you're doing, because you were just not caring about what you're doing and you were just so tired that you just put in a couple of false values, or you forget to I work with mice, so like mice, you forget to feed a mice, or you like you don't weigh the mice exactly right because you're supposed to wait until for the little start to happen on the weighing machine to make sure it's the exact weight. But if you just see, oh, it stopped for 2 seconds, that must be the right weight. Cutting those corners can be sins in and of itself.
So. Yeah, and when you're actionable about that kind of stuff, you have more like of a.
So even if you mess up that one time, later on reflecting means that the next time that you've done the reflection, you've set the intention. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will carry that through.
Right.
We'll help you carry that through, inshallah.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that was kind of a short episode, but
I think it was a pretty complex episode.
It was complex. I think this is an episode that requires reflection. So let's not keep it on too long, but you should definitely reflect on this because this is something that is, I think this is more of a reminder of
an
episode.
It's easier said than done, but it's important.
It's important. And yeah, this is definitely something as an individual you have to reflect on. This is not us. We shared a couple examples that we relate to.
Yeah.
But really, really like making proactive choices is just about you.
Also, and like literally all the examples we talked about today are like either very pre-med specific or school, specific to school. Yeah. Like so your specific classes, like spaced repetition might work for like biology or like whatever, but it might not work for like engineering, you know? Yeah. So.
But Fudger is applicable to
Fudger works for everyone.
That is for all of you. So so reflect on it and think about it. But hopefully this episode kind of gives you like a mode of like reflection throughout your day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jazakallah khair for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.